Welcome to Torah Nimecha, Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. Today we are studying Shoftim Perek Gimel. And the Perek begins, Ve'il ha-goyim asher hiniach Hashem l'nasos bam es Yisrael. These are the nations that Hashem left to test B'nai Yisrael. Es kol asher lo yadu es kol melchamos Canaan. All the people that did not know the wars of Canaan. Meaning all the people that did not see the miracles of Hashem. They did not see all the great things that God did for them. And therefore they are rebelling against Him. Rak l'ma'an das doros B'nai Yisrael l'amda melchama. In order that we should teach these generations to know war. What does that mean that they should know war? According to the Rabbag, this is actually practical. B'nai Yisrael needed to know how to fight. Until now, Hashem was fighting for them. Hashem was winning the wars for them. And now they are on their own. And so therefore, they actually need to learn how to fight. But according to Rashi, they did not need to know how to learn how to fight, but rather they needed to understand what happens when they sin, that sin leads to war. They need to know what happens when you leave Hashem, what happens when you don't follow Hashem. And Hashem leaves a lot of nations to test B'nai Yisrael. Are they going to listen to what Hashem commanded them? Meaning, are they going to drive out the inhabitants or not? And unfortunately, Pasuk Hey tells us, no, they do not drive out the nations. They live among them. And not only do they live among them, they intermarry with the nations. They take their daughters as wives. They give the other nations their daughters. And unfortunately, with this comes the continual decline of B'nai Yisrael. And now we come to Pasuk Zion, Vayasu B'nai Yisrael Sarah B'nai Hashem. B'nai Yisrael do bad in the eyes of God, Vayishkechu es Hashem, and they forget God, Hashem, Eloheihem, their God, Vayavdu es Habaalim ve'es Hasheros, and they turn and they worship Avodah Zarah. And again, we see this as a gradual process, and then comes the next, Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael, and Hashem becomes angry with B'nai Yisrael, that they left him, that they went to serve Avodah Zarah, Vayim Karim b'yad Kushan Rishatayim, Melech Aram Naharayim, he gives them over in the hands of Kushan Rishatayim, the king of Aram Naharayim, and B'nai Yisrael serve him for 8 years. It's important to note that Aram is actually the nation that Abraham left behind when he did Lech Lecha. He leaves Aram. And who is this person? Either it's actually his name, Kushan Rishatayim, or Rishatayim is actually a plural form of Russia because of the two evil deeds that Aram did for B'nai Yisrael. One, they sent Bilam to curse B'nai Yisrael, and two, this event of Kushan afflicting B'nai Yisrael. And what happens? Vayezaku B'nai Yisrael al Hashem. B'nai Yisrael cry out to God. And when they call out to Hashem, what does he do? He sends them a savior, a shofet, someone we already know. And who is that person? Asniel ben Kenaz. And the pasuk tells us, Vatzihi alav ruach Hashem, that God's spirit was upon him. And according to the Malbim, this was a ruach mishpat ugvura. This was a spirit in order to enable him to judge B'nai Yisrael and return them to Hashem, and then, therefore, be able to fight. According to the Mitzudah, this spirit was one of wisdom, the wisdom to judge, and the strength to fight. Vayishpod ei Yisrael, and he judges B'nai Yisrael. We see that the Shofet had an incredible job description. He had to not only judge B'nai Yisrael, he had to get them to do tshuva, and he had to fight on their behalf. But Rashi has a completely different approach, and he says, what is this Ruach Hashem on Asniel? It was actually a communication between Asniel and Hashem on behalf of B'nai Yisrael. Asniel made a judgment. He said to Hashem, you said, Ra'o Ra'isi Esaniyami, you said that Hashem, I saw B'nai Yisrael's, that in the future they would mess up and they're going to sin with Cheda Egel. Nevertheless, I see their affliction now. I see that they are suffering now, and I will save them and redeem them now, even though I know in the future they will mess up. So too, Asniel turns to Hashem and he says, in this situation, yes, B'nai Yisrael may be sinning, but they are suffering, and therefore you need to save them no matter what. So whether Asniel was successful in getting them to do teshuvah, and therefore Hashem helped them, or he was able to convince Hashem to save B'nai Yisrael, Hashem does so, and he is successful against Kushan Rishatayim, and they have quiet for 40 years. And then Asniel ben Kenaz dies. And we know when the Shofet dies, the cycle begins again. And we have Pasuk Yabez. B'nai Yisrael continue to do the bad in the eyes of Hashem, and so therefore what? Hashem sends them an oyev, an enemy. And who is that enemy in this case? Eglon melech Moab. Eglon, the king of Moab comes and oppresses them. And not only does he oppress them, but he enlists Ammon and Amalek to help him. Can you imagine this? That Hashem is siding with these nations over Bnei Israel, especially the nation of Amalek, the nation which Hashem wants to destroy, the nation that God says his throne is not complete until they are destroyed. He sides with them over Bnei Israel. Clearly, Bnei Israel are in a very bad place. And they conquer Yericho, which is the Ir HaTzmarim, which is actually extremely deflating because we know that Yericho was the city that Bnei Israel conquered. It was the first city that they conquered, and it was a completely miraculous way that they conquered it. And now they have gone so far, they have fallen so low, that this is actually the city that they lose. And we serve them for 18 years. And what happens? They call out to Hashem, and Hashem sends them Ehud ben Gera from Shevet Binyamin. The Pasuk Tesvav describes him as Ish Iter Yamino. Either it means that he was a lefty, or there was some problem with his hands. His right hand was shriveled. There was some sort of defect, which is actually an important detail, which we will need for later. And they have some sort of plans, and so therefore they send a present to Eglon, the king of Moab. And what does Ehud do? He makes a sword, which is actually a double-edged sword, which is a gomed, which is a small measurement of about an amma, and he places it on his right thigh. And he goes with an entourage, and they bring this present to Eglon. And remember that Eglon is the king of Moab, which means they have to travel to Moab outside Eretz Yisrael. And the pasuk tells us that Eglon is bari ma'od. He is very healthy, which actually means that he is quite large. He is a very obese man, which is another description that will be important later in the story. And this also sets a nice backdrop for the story, because it seems to Eglon that the Jews are submitting themselves to him, to the king, and therefore his guard will be down. So what happens? Ehud sends back the entourage. He escorts them to Psilim, the quarry, and he returns back to Eglon. And what does he do? He tells Eglon, I have a secret to tell you. Davar seser li'alecha. And again, what does it seem like? It seems like Ehud forgot to tell Eglon something earlier when he brought him the present, and therefore he returns. And this is also very strategic, because now the fact that Ehud is alone will make it easy for him to run away. He has already sent back the entourage, and now he is coming to Eglon alone. And what does Eglon say? He says, Has. He says, silence. And the people leave. So either he's saying it to the servants, because they understand that he wants privacy, or he said it to Ehud, meaning, stay quiet until I send everyone out, because I understand that you want to tell me something in private. So Ehud goes up to speak to the king in this upper room, which is a cool, ventilated place, because it's the summer and it's very hot. And Ehud says, Davar Elokim li'elecha, I have a word, the word of God for you. Vayakam me'al hakisei. And the pasuk tells us that Eglon gets up out of his chair. He stands up in reverence to Hashem. And according to the Medrash in Rus Rabbah, Hashem said that because Eglon stood up in the honor of Hashem, that one day he would have a descendant that would sit on the throne of God, namely David HaMelech. His daughter Rus would be the mother of Jewish royalty. And what does Ehud do? He takes his double-edged sword and he stabs Eglon, which makes it easier to go in because it's sharp on both ends. And also it was a sword that they didn't suspect, because in those days everybody was a righty, and so therefore when he went through with his pat down, they didn't even check a sword that would be good for someone who was a lefty. And what happens? He pushes it in until fat starts to come out, which is again part of his plan, because what happens when the fat comes out? It will create a smell, and therefore they will think that Eglon is using the bathroom, and they will stay out and give him privacy. And so Ehud slips out onto the porch and he locks the door behind him. And Eglon's servants come and they think that Eglon is taking care of his needs, and so they wait and they wait and they wait until finally they decide it's time to unlock the door, only to find that Eglon is dead on the floor. And during this time, Ehud has enough time to escape. And when he returns, he blows the shofar and he tells Bnei Israel, go chase out the Moabites, because what happened? Hashem has given them over in our hands, and they do this and they are successful. They subdue Moab and the land is quiet for 80 years. But the pasuk tells us, "V'tichna Moav b'yom hahu," that they submit Moab on that day. And the Mefarshim comments that it was actually on that day, because unfortunately, it didn't last, and things begin to deteriorate for Bnei Israel, and therefore Hashem sends Shamgar. Shamgar ben Anas is the next shofet, and he also saves Bnei Yisrael from the hands of the Plishtim. Thank you for studying together with us, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.